Okay, so only beginning Perek Hazayin. Anoshim chakri leiv, haholcha machas sichla mi'atzma, veim chochmo mesoyim korem philosophim, roitzim nishaka metziyasu beseda shalo, ad sheyidmu she'omda la emes. So people, philosophers, who basically mean they take their own understanding of things as being as having what it takes to be able to determine right and wrong, good and bad, and so on and so forth. Actually, down some of those. Vehine sichlu rochku loyod v'levinu. They've made terrible mistakes. They don't understand the chashich is halachu. They've come to darkness. Shem hoye noisin leiv ladas. Hoye noisin hoydol asheres zeyes ayisoid termina shemayim. They would admit, if they would think about it, they would admit the Torah b'Yinah Shemayim, v'yitzim ha'filosim echashichosam, and they would emerge from the darkness. Ki'ika zesh v'Torah b'Yinah Shemayim, k'ash'olam yafshir v'gor matzoyim ha'ros v'itay rayon lo, oz yamir ala bir v'mosif chotech k'efshar k'ashayim. If a person were to rid himself, he says the expression of his soiled clothing, and be mitar himself, he would realize Torah has to be b'Yinah Shemayim. Behine, elu ha'anoshim be'atzmam, kashir choykrim al metzius ha'siba reshayna, hayu mevi'im meifes choytech ha'metzius ha'siba reshayna mesudu men ha'kol, ma'shenira benim tzoyim tov seyde yoshem v'yoshepolam. So he's addressing people who believe in some sort of cause, some sort of first cause that brought the world into being. The points that he's making now will not address those people who are denying Bechal that there's a Din V'Dayin. So he says when these people were choyke al metzias hasibah shayna, hayim mevi'im meifes choytech al metzias hasibah shayna misudim en hakol, b'ashem tzoyim tov seyde yoshepolam. The line of thinking that there is a creator would be from the Seder and the structure of the world, which clearly indicates intelligence. V'chol ha'dvarim shenir la'ayin hakol b'chachma nefla, and everything that we see is with tremendous chachma. By the way, I heard someone recently made an extraordinary point. He said, He says the same scientists who are spending tremendous amount of money and energy to look for intelligent life in outer space, and one of their tools is tremendous antennas that will pick up radio signals. That what they're looking for is some pattern of signals, any pattern. Because random noise is random. A pattern of signals would be three beeps, three and three long, or a half a dozen long ones, and then two beeps, or whatever it is. Any type of signal would indicate to them that there's something out there. He said, the DNA has information, has billions of points of information locked into it, and that we feel can be understood as random. But a few beeps, that are a few regular beeps on antenna, cannot. He said, isn't that an incredible internal contradiction in your mindset? A few alternating beeps, you're not going to get more than that. Nobody's going to get a baseball game broadcast from outer space. Now, no one is that crazy. So what they're expecting is some sort of pattern of signals. And that's something that you get that gets written up as it must be intelligent because it's information. And the DNA has an incredible amount of information and nothing doing. Coincidence cannot be consistent. And, you know, you have a coincidence happens, but you can't have consistent coincidences. But looking around and seeing structure and intelligence and everything, said it must be for somebody who gave it all. So So now let's ask them. That the entire world is structured and organized. And secondly, that doesn't make any sense that the world, the metzias of the world, just happened by mikra. If something were just happen in coincidence, you can have an occasional event in coincidence, but not constant. So we're going to ask these people, Im hoya ba'olam haratzicha v'niyof ha'gezel v'chomis, Im hoya zeh metzias eshe mesuda. If the world were to have all sorts of crime, would that be called that? Would you be able to have a structured metzias? So if a world would have all these events, that couldn't be considered Yosha. So he has the following thread of argument, and this is the way it goes. He says many of the averis, or certainly the mitzvahs, sichlis in the Torah, preclude having a normal world if you were to have these events. If it's left up to every person's own understanding, then basically you are allowing it to disintegrate into total anarchy. Some people understand it, some people don't understand it. And I would add to that, different people understand differently what things are. So one person understands killing is bad, one person does not understand that. One person says killing certain types of people are okay, or certain types of healthy people, or certain types of unhealthy people. The world itself would plunge into chaos if there wasn't an absolute chiyuv, obligation in this area. And since the world can't be b'mikra, for a chikah b'atzolim is she'asid o'olam b'mikra kara, l'chein l'fi divrem b'atzma mi'ef sh'olim rak, sh'miyad sh'bo Hashem esal sa'odam, u'b'yoyim b'ro alakim sa'odam, sides ma'isav. So we have to say that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, and on a mechanical level it functions, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, and he created also moral structure, which is quite absolute. That Adam was immediately commanded. Adam means now let's talk a little bit more, I guess, deeply about this. What he means to say is, you can't, just like the basic functions of the world, the basic physical function of the world, are not left up to human device. A person, gravity functions whether people understand how gravity works or not. Electromagnetism works whether people understand how it works or not, and so on. All in order for nature to be to have a clear structure and function, its basic functions are divorced from human intervention. So, since there are moral structures that are imperative for things to work, it must be that they are imposed on the world and not left up to our understanding. Now, we still always have bechira to do it or not to do it, but the structure exists. So just like we can fool around with gravity and we can put buildings on pillars and they can stand even high above the ground because we worked around it, people can do things to have bechira. So a person has bechira. But what you can't have is that the meaning of bad and good should be left up to the vice of a person. Lekach, hachachomim hayoidim sidur ha'ilam be'emis sidru v'gozer and stavodim ben Hashem Yitzchak and Yisbaya shaloya seder ha'olam ha'idesecho adam shemikra im yaskal lo yaskal. It can't be left up. In other words, the basic sense of right or wrong can't be up to us to decide, because we may or may not decide it. So just like whether the function of the laws of nature don't depend on our understanding it. Nothing says that people will be smart enough to get it. We might even get it wrong, even if he thinks. Very simple. Achmi chachamim shenika palton. Shomeke royus shekola shem balam locha acha shelam noshim biyachad lo kolachad ishem yuchedes. So Plato in his Republic says that the higher caste should have a common body of women. Shola chachadim yeshemato isay. It was a fantasy. It's nothing at seichel. It's just fantasy. So how could you depend on human seichel? So it's not possible that you can't have that, you would be able to have that. There are a few other arguments which I think are worth discussing here. He goes on from here to Torah and so on. Let's discuss one argument, one point that's really, in my mind, it's probably the strongest point in understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on. We need to understand, Socrates has this in a piece with Phidias. I don't remember the name of the piece, but on the good, maybe it's called something like that, on the virtuous. And basically asked him, do the gods do the good because it's good, or because the gods do it, that's why it's good? In other words, is there an absolute, is good and bad an absolute measure or not? Now, let's think a second. There are things in the world, for instance, physical realities, hot and cold, soft and hard, are absolute realities. Even if I don't sense the heat, my finger is not sensitive and it doesn't sense the heat, this thing will still melt whatever it can melt at that heat. And whether I felt it or not made no difference. Ultraviolet rays can damage cells whether I feel those rays or see them or not. It's irrelevant to my subjective experience. It's objective, purely objective. That's one class of things. There's a second class of things, such as art or music, which, to say that this is a nice work of art or a lovely piece of music, it really, what you're saying is, I find it very likable, and or what I'm saying is, many people find it likable, or what I'm saying is, many people are very experienced in music find it likable. But at the end of the day, no one can make the statement, this is nice art, and that should be an objective statement. It's subjective by its nature. And no one can, most a person can say is about my taste, my personal taste is unique. I happen to like light tan and light blue together. That's something nobody likes. And I can say, well, you've got a very peculiar sense because no one else has it. But there's no way to label it bad or good. I might be the best. It might be light years ahead of everybody else. I might be light years behind. It makes a difference. Now, good and bad in a moral sense, which of these two classes is it? Is there some objective way of determining the concept of good / bad? Or is it a subjective? If it's objective, then where is that, you know, where does it come from? The fact that most people agree to it, or almost everyone agrees to it, is as meaningful as saying most people agree that light blue and light tan don't mesh together well. It's just a feeling. There's no way a computer couldn't do that. There's nothing there objective about it. So I need to say, where does that standard come from? The color is a standard that comes from a measurement of a light wave, and that measurement is objective. It may, I don't know if I perceive color where you perceive it, but the same, what you call red and what I call red, we may have different sensations when we see it, but one thing is true, that an instrument will read the same wavelength. If good and bad has that, well, what is that objective standard? Where, if on the other hand it's subjective, then there is no way that you can say Nazi philosophy or North Korean philosophy or totalitarian philosophy is bad. You happen to not like it. Many people not like it. Many people think that it's good, or even if no one thinks it's good, it's simply the most you can say about it is I don't like it. We don't like it, but there's no way to call it criminal or evil. The word evil wouldn't apply. It's just like somebody who likes a horrendous light blue on a light tan is not an evil person. He just, all you can say about it is his taste in art is unique. No one else has it. So what exactly is morality? Good and bad. Is it subjective or it's objective? If it's objective, where is that absolute standard that everything is measured by? If it's subjective, then it's something that is, you cannot give it, assign it value. You can simply assign numbers, how many like this, how many like that. And that I think is, and most people will believe that it, you know, but most people will recognize it as not being the same class as art, but rather some reality. When people answer, wherever my conscience bothers me or hurts me, so that's a feeling. In other words, we don't know even what the conscience is. We'll assume it's some part of the brain. So is the sense of beauty. The aesthetic sense is a part of the brain. And that's why it's subjective. It's what my brain feels. So obviously there has to be a standard that's absolute, and that's coming from somewhere above. Va'oyri says, so he says it can't be that it depends on people, being that people have weaknesses, do averis, and are biased, and so on and so forth. It can't be that they make the determination of good and bad. They had a film clip of somebody interviewing a newspaper reporter asking at some sort of, either it was an interview or press conference, a spokesman for the United States State Department about the bombing of an Afghanistan school. And this person, and he was saying, you know, they had had the right figures, it was a terrible mistake, and so on. So this person, he worked for an Israeli press or whatever, he said, when Israel bombed a school by mistake in Gaza, you said, and I quote, you're appalled and horrified at the terrible thing that Israelis did. Can I now say you're appalled and horrified at what your army did? Well, you see, you know, we are waiting for the full investigation, and then we know exactly. I said, well, you know, when it happened in Israel, you said right away. So can I say that now about yours? And the person was stammering for a minute. This is a person, and he couldn't come up with anything. So he says over here, people's own seichel are poor judges of good and bad. They can judge somewhat when it's very, very objective, not relevant to them. But as soon as it comes relevant, they can't. V'oira mitzios hazeh efshari mitzar atzmoi v'hu mechuyev mitzari losoi. Kimitzar Hashem Yisparchu Mechuyev Mochshe Nimtza Shu Goyze Mitzyusek. He makes the following statement. When we ask ourselves about our own self, so we say, okay, as far as I'm concerned, I could have existed, I could not have existed. I don't feel a reason why I have to exist. Mitzar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no such thing as, you know, maybe, possibly, and so on. If we exist, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels we have to exist. So, as far as we're concerned, it's a possibility, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a mechuyev. And if you're telling me that this seder is totally in a person, in other words, good and bad is what we determine to be good and bad, since we, from our point of view, are not muchrach hametzias, so that means that the definition of good and bad just happens to be dependent. Is dependent we're having here a problem with the Skype. Okay. We're having a problem. Hello?
Hi, it's Ian.
What happened?
I don't know. You know, what I was using is no longer working, so I switched devices.
Okay.
Sorry.
Good. So, okay, we're good. In other words, if you're making part of human existence be dependent on a human being himself, since this moral structure is very much part of what a person needs to be, we're basically ending up in making a person dependent on a person, which is arbitrary. And if there's nothing, if there's no structure to his existence, he has no existence. So a person has to, everything that goes into making human existence possible has to exist already as coming from Hashem Yisbarach. How can you say that as far as the basic existence that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, umitzad sidro But what's necessary to give him continued existence doesn't exist. And this is mechuyev from the fact that the person is mitzuvin ilo. So by saying that a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that a person's mitzias is very, very tolly in that a person's mitzias is tolly in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that includes moral structure, that means that Adam's mitzias is mocha. A second point to ponder. Everything that's brought created is b'shleimus, and nothing is missing this world. And we see it. Everything is perfect in the sense that it exists well. Explains other places what it means. So basically, everything about every being is complete and comes ready for that. And something that shleimus doesn't have less than it needs, or more than it needs. If it's over, if it has extra organs it doesn't need, that's not shleimus. So he's making the following argument. A person is b'shleimus only, human existence b'shleimus only, when you have all pieces of the person in place. Our understanding of good and bad, which is what he calls seichel, is one of those pieces. And a person is not a shalom unless he has all those pieces in place. So we aren't. We're born without knowledge and understanding. We slowly try harder, but we never get to it really. So his thread of thought is going to be, and therefore it must be, it is us together with Torah that make us shleimim. Even if a person has developed his understanding, there's always room for more understanding. Shleimus is when there's no room to have more. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the world Torah, Dovazeh Hashlomus HaSeichel Gami. That's the Seichel Shalem. Ve'af ki Odom in Masi Kol HaTorah, Mikomu ke'ish Odom HaShlomu B'tzad HaZeh Shrosna HaTorah Sheba HaKoyl, Ve'ish HaShlomu K'may She'amru HaFeich B'Rekulaba. So I'm a Shalem because I have Torah to access. Ve'dovazeh Shemaitz Odom Shlei Musa LaPoel Tomid Ischakeim, the amount that I've realized in myself is not the ikar that creates a shleimus. By the fact that Klal Yisrael has it all, that's a sort of shleimus. The fact that a person is masig some more, some less, that's not a chiddush. Ki af b'shanim tzoyim, af shehim kulo min echod. So Klal Yisrael as a Klal are Shleimim because they have in themselves Torah B'chlolius. וכסיב תורה אחס ודוב זה השלומס המין עד שיהיה הכל שווה וכסיב תורה אחס יהיה לכם וכולו ומנזן את התורה במדבר שמוקם הפקה שתהיה תורה השלומס המין אנושי בכלל. In other words, Torah wasn't given to anybody in particular, even though we all, each as individuals, are supposed to learn it, understand it, and grow from it. But Torah as a klal was given to humanity. Ve'im keloya umas reitz nakabas haTorah, even though they refused it, davas nisar kabel vat. Torah was given for anyone that calls himself Adam. Umas olam had a problem. But that's it's their problem. It's not. But mitzad the tzura, it was given the midbar, meaning no one possesses it as such. So his point is, you can't say Torah is an internal understanding given to each person, because then humanity as such doesn't have a shleimus. It's each person individually. The fact that all of the traits of a species are universal to that species. So all bears have fur and all bears have claws and so on. All people need to have the shleimus, and if each one individually would have it, that's not really, it's not a klal, it's each one by vipratik. V'achilek zeh tikna brocha la Torah, ki brocha rishayna shekachan mitzvah yisrael zonasi b'Torah, u'brocha zoi sik mishabrech sa mitzvah, shem brocha la mitzvah, v'gam zeh shayisi b'Torah, mitzvah yisrael brocha la. So one brocha on Torah we make is because we're doing a ma'isa mitzvah. ומפני כן די בברוך הזו, כאשם יסברך הוא שמועצה שכל מפול, ואין די מזה לשאר מצווה של אדם מועצה מעצמוי, אבל התורה, השם יסברך הוא המועצה שכל אדם מפול, ואין זה לאדם מעצמוי. So, לכך יש לברך ברוך המלמד תורה לעם ישראל. So, the מלמד תורה לעם ישראל is because all of the mitzvahs, when I say, שאני אומר, it's סיוונו, Alnatilas love, it's me. Yeshiva Sukkah is me. Hamalama Torah Lam Yisrael is, it's a Kaddish Baruch Hu's Torah. Vezeh kenegesh Hashem Yisrael Moitzeh Secholim HaPol Umalama Torah Lam Yisrael. Vechein Muchach Loshen Hamalami Dimash Loshen Hoiver. Vedovazeh Keatam Lame Torah Latzmoy Umoitzeh Secholim HaPol. Vibnei Kedovazeh Narak Masha Moitzeh Secholim HaPratel HaPol. Vlehiske Ashleimus Klal. Vlehiske Ashleimus HaKlal. So being that the first bracha is dealing with a person individually, we needed a bracha to give us a recognition of Torah and its klal, which is for everyone. It says L'moshel that all generations to come, they receive Torah. What that means is basically fleshing out this idea that Torah is given to the nation as a nation. So it doesn't, if it's given to individuals, so someone who's not here is not here, it's very hard to say gets Torah. But if it's given to a klal, then whoever will belong to the klal, by virtue belong to the klal. This, he feels, a very, very powerful argument that has to be termed as Shemayim, because you wouldn't have the Tzuras Adam in the Shleimus that you want. Okay, I have to hold it here. Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you very
good.
Much.
Good. Take care. All the best. Good vach. Okay.